one American at a time.
We go inside the Beltway with Talk Radio News. Victoria Jones joins us right out of the gate. Victoria, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
You know, Foggy Bottom, they call it that for a reason. Is it really hot and sticky there? I heard the weather was really shifting on the east. Have you gotten that yet?
Well, it begins with SH. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what the weather's like here.
So with the weather, coupled with the tempers and what's going on with the debt, it has to be getting interesting by the minute. Every single day, it's like, what's happening at the White House? What's going on in the Hill? Today, I heard that Obama said about Cantor, don't call my bluff, when they were in the debt talks, because now little nuggets are starting to leak out from the meetings. What do you make of that? Does it depend on your point of view or what you think is happening?
I mean, Cantor is saying the way this particular meeting went down, and it's a question of, you know, do you believe what Eric Cantor says about the meeting or don't you believe what Eric Cantor says about the meeting? I mean, Eric Cantor says that Obama left. It ended with the president abruptly walking out of the meeting. That's one way. I mean, you can characterize that many ways. That could mean that the president left the meeting. Could mean that the president had to go to another meeting because Pakistan was on fire, or India had just been attacked by terrorists. Or it could mean that, you know, some people might say, well, you know, Cantor has a reputation as somebody who walks out of debt talks, so why should we listen to what he has to say?
Right. Gotcha. It's a lot of political maneuvering.
Lot of political maneuvering. Certainly something happened between the two of them this afternoon, and it's quite likely that he did say, don't call my bluff. And, you know, that he did say something like that. I think that's quite likely. And I understand one Democratic aide said that Obama was concluding the meeting, giving the closing remarks and talking about meeting tomorrow, and Cantor interrupted him. I mean, you don't usually interrupt a president. And raised for the third time doing a short term, and Obama shut him down. And the aide said that Cantor was playing the role he's been playing throughout this whole thing, being not productive. Of course, that's a Democratic aide saying that.
All right. So the other thing that I heard, too, because there's all kinds of missiles, I call them missiles, that are coming out of this, or silent assassins that are walking around. And one of the things I heard, and I think this was widely reported anyway, that Senator Lindsey Graham, he said this. He said, listen, if I'm, because he kept, like everybody else, is getting pressed on what's going to happen. And he said, if I were a betting person and I were talking about whether or not this debt ceiling was going to be lifted, I would say no. So do you think... I think that with all this political maneuvering you and I are talking about, that eventually it comes down to the just like the moment when, oh, everything's going to shut down in Washington and then suddenly it really doesn't. I think it comes down to more of the grandstanding and eventually that doesn't happen. But him saying that, it made me wonder, wow, is there really more of a chance than I thought?
I think, look, there's definitely a chance. I mean, there's definitely a chance. By the way, apparently, according to the AP, he said enough is enough.
Yeah.
The president said enough is enough. So that's another one. We have to be willing to compromise. It shouldn't be about positioning and politics, and I'll see you all tomorrow, is what he said.
All right, so they're going to do another round again.
He said they're going to meet every day.
Yeah.
So he's saying they're going to meet every day, which means that he's putting the Republicans in the position of quitting, basically. But no, I think you're right. This thing could go wrong. It could go wrong. It could be that Mitch McConnell's proposal could be worked on, and a hybrid version of that could come into being, or that leadership could want a hybrid version of that, and that the Republican rank and file could vote it down.
Wow. All right, so we'll keep playing that waiting game with you. Rupert Murdoch, no waiting there. They're really looking into this investigation. What do you think they're going to turn up? I mean, this is juicy stuff.
No idea what they're going to turn up at this point. It's far too soon because, really, we haven't heard that there's been a single person who works for News Corporation who's been accused of doing any kind of phone hacking. What we have heard is that Senator Jay Rockefeller, the Commerce Committee chairman, is calling for a probe of allegations against News Corp. This is because News of the World allegedly went after 9/11 victims' phones. Senator Frank Laufenberg and Senate Robert Menendez have written to the Attorney General expressing concern over reports that News Corporation bribed foreign law enforcement officials to advance their interests, and they're concerned about law breaking. Mm. So, and that's an interesting one, because that was could be a route to go, and that kind of investigation would be led by the SEC rather than the Justice Department, apparently. And that's the kind of investigation, even though it's very small, it wouldn't be worth an awful lot of money. But if they decided to do it, it's the kind of thing that, yes, you start the investigation, then you ask where else. And you start investigating other companies within the organization.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. The scandal certainly crossed the Atlantic. There's no question about that.
Yeah. Well,
so we move from Rupert Murdoch and News Corp and all that to boiling it down to the House and talking about styrofoam in the cafeteria. Is it the cafeteria trays?
It's cups as much as anything else.
Yeah,
because they do have cafeteria cups. House Dems are once again trying to get away with styrofoam products in congressional cafeterias, and it's an amendment to a fiscal 2012 legislative branch appropriations bill. And it's Representative Jim Moran of Virginia who introduced an anti-styrofoam amendment today. Didn't get far. Committee members voted the amendment down party lines, and the majority torpedoed it 26-18.
26-18?
Yeah, because there's 26 Republicans to 18 Democrats on the committee.
Oh, I love that. Perfect way to end this. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News. Thanks so much. All right, with all of that happening in Washington, Mumbai once again, the center of attack. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, ATN, of course. And three bombs rocked the a couple of districts of Mumbai, and this happened during rush hour on Wednesday. They say at least 21 people are dead. You know, that number's probably going to climb. So now this is the second time that this has happened. Go back in your minds. Remember 2008, those horrific pictures. There was actually some Americans that were in a westernized hotel where a lot of people, actually I shouldn't say westernized, a lot of people from the West and a lot of people from Europe went to this hotel that was ripped wide open, if you remember the attack that killed 166 people. So they're kind of jittery already in India, and especially in that area. Nobody's claimed any kind of responsibility at this point for the blast. They say it's got to be terror attacks. Immediately, that was released. The ministry over there, they call it the Home Ministry, released a statement. But this is in the financial hub one more time. So it doesn't seem like it was that long ago, 2008, but it was 2008 the last time that happened. And now you have another attack right through the gut of India. So here we go. And who ultimately is going to step forward on this one? They say at least one car and a motorbike were used in the coordinated attacks. So they use, of course, the IEDs again. So they think happened here. And it seems a little more amateurish, let's say, than the last time around. So is it a branch of Al-Qaeda, somebody else? Very, very crowded. Lucky that number hasn't been higher than 21. Probably will jump up. Coming up next, something completely different. We're going to talk about a different form of hypochondria. Has to do with looking stuff up on the internet and taking all the info to the docs. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment
moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. Treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Where can you find a super strength potassium iodide supplement? Right here at ThyroidKI.com. With global radiation levels at record highs, is your thyroid safe from radioactive iodine poisoning? Potassium iodide, the key ingredient in Thyroid KI, is proven to block radioactive iodine from damaging your thyroid. Thyroid damage is permanent and can lead to thyroid cancer. Unlike other potassium iodide products, Thyroid KI is formulated in convenient 32.5 milligram tablets and is independently tested for purity with a 100% money-back guarantee. With limited stock selling fast, act now. Prepare yourself and protect your family. Use coupon code THYROID for a 10% discount. Visit ThyroidKI.com. That's Thyroid, the letter K, the letter I.com. ThyroidKI.com or call 855-599-9444. 855-599-9444. Again, that's 855-599-9444.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. We're broadcasting all those nooks and crannies from coast to coast and all the spots in between, as we like to say here on ATN. And, you know, there's something that's going around that I've noticed, and a lot of my friends have noticed this, and you may have someone in your life who unfortunately has this. They think they have every ailment in the book, or they think they can diagnose themselves. So they're constantly on the internet doing the research. There is actually a thing called cyberchondria. And joining us now to talk about it is Dr. A.J. O'Connell. He's an OBGYN from Forest Park Medical Center. That's in Dallas, Texas. Doc, thanks for spending some time with us. I'm sure you're swamped. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So this is a real thing, cyberchondria.
Oh, sure. We see it on a daily basis. It's been pretty well documented for at least 15 to almost 20 years now as the internet grew more fast and people could get access to data quickly.
So the problem with this is, and I get this, you know, people start to look up things, you know, I have a bump on my leg. Is it a mosquito bite? Is it a brown recluse got me in the garage? What is it? It looks like it's spreading and it's swelling. And geez, before I go to the doctor, I'm going to look this up. I got to make sure I need to go to the doctor. And then once I'm there, I'm going to tell my doctor everything that I've looked up on this. Do you find that that's what happens a lot of times, that you have patients that come armed with everything that they found and you have to kind of go through and say, well, no, let's reel this in a little bit. How do you set them straight, I guess?
Well, the good thing is when someone's proactive about looking into something is, you know, we have to remind them that a headache is not usually a tumor and chest pain is not usually a heart attack, but they need to be mindful that it can be that, especially if it's something that persists. The most important thing they should do is if they're looking online, look at reputable sites such as WebMD and some of the other ones and get to their doctor and speak to them before they really run amiss and get themselves really frightened. It's really easy to to turn a little thing into a big thing when you're sitting in front of your computer and stewing over it. And also, the news reports the dramatic things. They don't report the little things. So we all know somebody or hear the story every day of the person who had nothing that was really something serious.
Yeah, no kidding. And is this, do you tell, because I would bet that, that you actually can look this up. You can look up the word cyberchondria. So it has to be affecting a lot of people. In one sense, that's not really good because then it is an ailment and they'd have to do something to kind of get themselves to not be so worried, because you would worry about every little thing that happened to you. How do you live your life if you think every headache is almost a brain tumor? What do you advise people?
Well, exactly. I think we have to realize, too, that when people go for their checkup with the doctor, they're getting screening tests as a general rule. And the screening tests aren't usually diagnostic of anything serious. They usually just tell us whether we need to look further. So when a person is really afraid of something and then they get these further testing, we have to remind ourselves that these tests aren't without potential complications. So that if every chest pain were, for example, to get cardiac catheterization, or every abdominal pain were supposed to get a CAT scan with a dye, a lot of people are going to get a reaction to this dye and maybe go into kidney failure. In fact, I did surgery on a woman a few years ago who wanted to just get an ovarian cancer test. And there is no early screening for ovarian cancer, but it was abnormal. And she also had some other issues like infertility. Nobody would touch her until I proved she didn't have cancer, which meant she had to have surgery.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And she probably thanked you, though, a million times over, because that helped her.
Sure. And she didn't have cancer, and she now has a child. But I think that, you know, things could have gone really wrong. It's not likely, but I think we always have to be careful and not scare ourselves. I think the most important thing is to talk ourselves down and really go see our family doctor. It's less expensive than those big expensive tests. And as we build things up, we'll also, one of the problems we run into and why we think that cyberchondria is a bad thing is we always want to give the right answer to people asking us questions. So if we believe we're having a heart attack, we're going to answer the questions. And in our mind's eye, we think we're giving the right answer that are going to lead the doctor to believe that, well, maybe this is a heart problem. Maybe I do need to do all of this, potentially invasive testing. And that's the biggest reason to just know the possibilities of what things can be and go get it checked out.
Yeah, and isn't it, I mean, you know this, you're the medical guy. I'm just a talk show host. But, you know, a lot of things, you're short of breath. You have certain symptoms that can cross over to all kinds of stuff, right?
Absolutely, and that is one of the problems. We see that a lot. In fact, in obstetrics, a lot of the normal signs that things that happen to women in pregnancy, shortness of breath, fatigue, are also some of the beginning signs that there could be a problem.
Mm.
And that's where again regular checkups as well as you know, just taking good basic care of ourselves and not really looking into the rarities. You know, rare, as we learn in medical school, common things happen commonly and rare things happen rarely.
Yeah. And when you have, isn't the best thing, because some of us, you know, move around, but isn't the best thing to establish that relationship with the doctor? I mean, you keep saying it. That's the common thread here about the family doctor, because then they know your body. They know if, okay, geez, 3 years ago this happened, and then do you remember this, and then you were great and you were okay, because then you have a roadmap, right?
Oh, no question. And we always have to remind ourselves that we're not going to likely get the zebras, the rare things. And it is important to have, you know, a good primary care physician involved in your life, as well as again, sticking to reputable sources of information, because we have to remember that our First Amendment rights protect us to a great deal of free speech. And when we get outside of licensed personnel, you know, your physician or a place like your health insurer, they have sort of a license-bound duty to give the correct information. Just as, you know, in media, you're responsible and held your feet to the fire for everything you say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for reminding me of that. I appreciate that.
No, it's true. So we have a different level than someone who's just a blogger, for example, and says, well, you know, in my opinion, you need to take this. And we see it all the time. And so I think to stick with reputable sources is a great idea. And, you know, stories like this are just a great service to people to remind them to calm themselves down, that they probably do not have that thing that happens to one in a million people. But the good news is if they do, their doctors heard about it too, and they can look for it.
We're speaking with Dr. AJ O'Connell, OBGYN, Forest Park Medical Center. Doc, Have you seen, because I mean now it's amazing some of the things that have happened in medicine. The advances are incredible. Have you found, especially in your line of work, have you found from the very start when you started, you got out of medical school and you became an OBGYN and you started a practice and that stuff and you moved up, have you found that it's just been amazing, like by leaps and bounds in your particular niche?
Oh, my goodness, sure. When I first started my residency, and we're not talking about eons ago, we're talking the late 1990s, patients were getting surgery that was an open incision, and they stayed in the hospital for 4 or 5 days. They were out of work for 6 weeks. Now, when I do a hysterectomy, it's done through 3 or 4 small incisions. The patient goes home in less than 24 hours, and that's not because she's being kicked out. It's because she's really ready to go home, and she's really resumed most normal activities within a week or two. The same thing with obstetrics. We've really changed full circle on the way that we've learned quite a bit about not forcing people to try to deliver naturally after a C-section, and then we went back to where you shouldn't do it, and now we've sort of come to more common sense terms where we say you can, but we have to be careful with it. Sort of like eating eggs, you know, you're told not to eat eggs, and eggs are good, then they're bad again. So, we see it does tend to move around a bit.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's been interesting, the trend we've seen, and a lot of this is celebrities and a lot of it is fertility treatments and whatnot, but isn't it astonishing the amount of women in their 40s, mid-40s and beyond that are having children? Is that, well, you're the doctor once again, but is that kind of surprising to you?
It is. It's surprising and it's amazing, and it leaves also a number of ethical considerations in that, you know, we have to ask ourselves what's going to happen if we're not going to live long enough to raise our children. But now it's true. We can freeze our eggs. We can freeze our male cells. We can pick gender. We can do pre-implantation genetics to see many of the common ailments that can occur. We can almost to some degree even design our babies.
Wow. Yeah, and you know, that's like a hot potato. I'm sure right now people listening to us, you call this number, not the doctor, 800-259-5791. Some people love it, and some people are like, whoa, you are messing with stuff. You need to stop. Yeah.
It's not part of my practice, that's for sure, but it's also, you know, I take a pretty non-judgmental tone because my wife and I were blessed. It was easier for us to have children, so I can't really sit in other people's, you know, shoes in that regard. Yeah.
Sure, yeah. But still, again, just amazing the leaps and bounds, that, as you just described, that we have now seen with various surgeries and whatnot. But let's just hope that some of the people listening to us aren't going to go down the road too far anyway of cyberchondria. Maybe you'll get less people in the office that believe they can diagnose themselves and have all these symptoms. It's just crazy. It's been a delight to talk to you, Doc. Will you come on again?
I would be delighted to. I love this. In fact, on your television side, a friend of mine from college is one of your television reporters.
Excellent. There you go.
Yeah.
So who's the friend?
Oh, Jay Gormley.
Well, I know Jay. Next time you see him, tell him I said hello. Dr. AJ O'Connell, thank you so much for joining us on America Tonight.
You can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven 3-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
You've been lied to. Lied to by the Wall Street propaganda machine, the government, and the talking heads in the media. The market is in for another crash. Real estate is already in a double-dip recession, and if you want to keep your hard-earned money safe, this message is for you. My name is Brett Kitchen, and after losing 35% of my money when the market crashed, I said enough is enough. I searched and discovered a way to safely grow my money, participate in potential double-digit gains, but also have my money protected when the crashes come. Plus, it could save you thousands in taxes. I want you to get a free copy of my new book, Safe Money Millionaire, where I share this powerful tool that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney used to safely grow their wealth. Call 1-800-675-1640 right now to get your free copy. Again, that's 1-800-675-1640. I'm giving away a limited number of copies today, so call 1-800-675-1640.
Question: can functional magnetic resonance imaging be used to read our minds? Author Jose Collazo answers yes in his two new books, America's New Slavery. For more than 13 years, author Jose Collazo has been trying to prove that the U.S. government has the capacity to read a person's thoughts with a revolutionary technology known as fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging, and there is proof that it exists. America's New Slavery explores this technology and its many possible applications in national security. Who has access to it? How is it being used? Does America's salvation rest in this technology? These and many other questions are answered in America's New Slavery, the new books by Jose Collazo, available on BN.com, Amazon.com, and Borders.com. America's New Slavery. All Americans should be concerned.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available and all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with you Hindi and Super Fem Plex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
Don't worry. Coming up at the tail end of this hour, we'll get to the obligatory day 200 and something, talking about the debt and all the sounds that are emanating from Washington, but including Ben Bernanke, who says we are prepared to respond if the economy worsens. But before we get there, you know what's interesting, and I thought it was worthy of bringing it up here in this hour of America Tonight, is this idea of, you know, I've got a new segment going on called Give Me Justice, and you tell me if there's true justice. When you have a Minnesota Wi-Fi hacker who gets 18 years in prison, right? And look, I think the guy is a troll for what he did to his neighbors. But he gets 18 years in prison. What he did was he hijacked their networks. He harassed them. He embarrassed the next-door neighbors. You know, every way he could. He was a nut. His name is Barry Ardolf. And he was a very obsessive, passive-aggressive, creepy neighbor, right? And it started in 2008, and a couple of his neighbors filed a police report against him because they had a four-year-old son who went over to their next-door neighbor's house after they moved into this suburb of Minnesota, a place called Blaine. So Ardolf has his own family. He's a father of two, and, you know, apparently, then this is the twisted part, but apparently he picked up the kid, they say, carried him back to the house, and then kissed him on the lips. So when the cops called and, you know, vowed that they were going to come after him, he said that he was going to get revenge on anybody who said that he had anything to do with kids. So what he did was he went nuts after the neighbors called the cops. And he was a computer tech, so he was very savvy on the tech side. He downloaded, now picture this, because you all have neighbors. He downloaded a Wi-Fi hacking program to tear into the web encryption of his neighbors. Oh, this creeps me out when I think about this part of it, right? He creates a fake MySpace page, a bunch of fake emails, and for these people that reported him to the police, and then he posted child porn on the MySpace page, emailed the same child porn to coworkers at the guy's law office. So, you know, it went on from there. And then, you know, did a couple of other crazy things to politicians, figured he was going to get away with it. And eventually, the law office had someone poking around the Wi-Fi network. They had something that, they had something to sniff him out. They did. Gave the info to the FBI, and then the rest is history. So he gets 18 years, right? But then you have Casey Anthony, who is acquitted of the heinous charges of murdering her daughter. The jury finds her not guilty of that, and she's going to walk out this weekend. She's going to walk out of prison. There's all kinds of crazy rumors that she's going to have plastic surgery done. They're trying to figure out where ultimately they're going to stash her because she can't live in the same community. They're not, when I say they, it's mostly the legal team around her, I guess. So nobody's really giving any specifics. Of course not. They're trying to, you know, hide her, basically. That's what's going to happen there. So all the stuff that led up to this girl, 2 years old, gets tossed out onto the highway, out into the woods, next to the highway in Florida, and nobody answers for this crime. This guy's a nut, a kook, and a weirdo, and should have gotten something. But he gets 18 years in a federal prison for the craziness of what he did, like a twisted Lifetime movie plot, and she walks out the door. Now, I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. And I could go on looking at some other things in courts lately where you have the stuff with Roger Clemens. This is a big story. Does everybody know who Roger Clemens is? If you don't, I'm going to tell you who he is. Surefire Hall of Fame pitcher who was guilty of being ridiculously prideful because there's no reason he should be in this position. He goes in front of Congress and is so adamant that he had nothing to do with steroids. You know, basically, he's on trial for lying to Congress. So now they're saying that they've got needles. The prosecution are saying that they have needles and cotton balls that Clemens' former trainer says he used to inject Clemens, and he tested positive Clemens' DNA for the steroids. It's the evidence they say they needed, but the defense says it was faked. So you've got this whole thing going on, this whole trial going on, and Clemens, in a nutshell, the charges are lying to Congress about using performance-enhancing drugs. His attorney is saying he's not going to dispute that the needles contain his DNA and steroids, but he's accusing the trainer, a guy who got a lot of notoriety, Brian McNamee, of mixing it all up. He says that he manufactured it. So you have three different kinds of cases, but look ultimately at what the judgments could be. Clemens says the only things that he ever injected him with were lidocaine for joints and B12 that any of us could get anywhere, B12 shots. And ultimately, what do you think this jury is going to come back with? Do you think they're going to nail Roger Clemens for this, saying that he lied to Congress? Or do you think Clemens gets out of this? I think it was just, like I said, pride, arrogance, that whole thing. That really it was just about the Hall of Fame. It was just, you know, there was obviously the danger of him testifying in the first place. So why did he even do it? Because he just continues to maintain, he just can't do it, that he didn't use drugs during his career. I mean, this guy had a 24-year career in baseball. set all kinds of pitching records, and you have other guys who took stuff, who admitted it, and still got big contracts. Andy Pettit, one of his best friends, or used to be one of his best friends, from Houston, who played for the Yankees as well as part of their rotation, got a huge contract, said that he was sorry. Clemens could have easily done the same thing, thrown himself on the mercy of the court of public opinion, and trust me, this guy would have won in that case. So now instead, what money's being spent here and how this is getting dragged out ultimately, and then you look at the Anthony trial, and then you compare this other nut in Minnesota, and you look at the possible sentences. And what if Clemens, who, if they find him guilty, you know, they could give him a couple of years. And there's a good fair or foul for you. So should he sit in prison for even a year or two for lying to Congress if they say that they have enough evidence? And this is going to be one to follow. Trust me, and we will be following. We're going to have some people on to talk about it, to talk about that whole DNA thing. I mean, forget that Clemens is famous and all of that, but following the lying to Congress deal as well, and how often does somebody get tried for that? How often do people lie to Congress? I mean, there's a good one for you. All right, I said that we would talk about the debt deal and the fact that right now there isn't a debt deal. The big bombshells that were dropped out of Washington just a day or so ago had to do deal rather with Social Security and also military folks and whether or not they would get paid. The president himself saying, oh, well, I can't guarantee that those Social Security checks are going to be there in the beginning of August. And the military was thrown in as well that, hey, those checks might not be there. How can we say they'll be there? And then you have word late on Wednesday coming out of the White House. Well, you know, you keep asking us how bad is it, what will happen. It's like I keep saying that they're predicting this Armageddon, that it's, you know, like the it's like an Indiana Jones movie where if he opens the crypt, it's the world will be sucked into it, and then ultimately all of us will go down the drain. And I mean, just on how bad is it on a scale of 1 to 10? Is it really more fear mongering, or is there some truth to what will happen if the debt ceiling isn't raised? How much will it cost you and me? I mean, we can definitely dig our heels in on this one and say we're sick of all this nonsense, forget it, and we're not moving on this debt ceiling thing. But then, if nothing happens, what are you looking at paying? What happens if they don't increase the limit on the debt from $14 trillion plus to $16.7 trillion, because the Treasury Department is insistent that they need that money to keep borrowing through the 2012 elections. Maybe that's part of the key. Because here's the thing. If it is a mini, even, Armageddon, it doesn't happen. Who do you think is going to get the blame for that? What do you think is going to happen in the 2012 elections? Disastrous for the current president. If the debt ceiling isn't raised, and really, honestly, checks aren't going to show up, oh, who do you think is going to get the blame for that? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the payments and the veterans' checks and the other payments. And is it true? Will they really be at risk if it isn't raised? Or is it part of that, as I said, fear-mongering? And a lot of you are still wanting to talk about it because I looked at the emails today and the box was once again full. And most of the conversation, or most of what you sent me, was your thoughts on what we could, one, do to solve the crisis. And some of the plans were terrific. Or you were telling me that you just want to just completely turn over Washington and just have a redo. Basically, send them all out, get some replacement players, and see if we can figure this out. So more on that coming up as we kick the can down the road here on America Tonight.
Well, I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
You've heard great things about Berkey. You've been thinking of getting a Berkey water purification system, but for some reason, you haven't made your purchase just yet. Okay, here's one more reason to buy the best water purification system you can buy now. The Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com is giving away free Pelican flashlights. Yes, with every purchase of any Berkey water purification system from the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com, you'll receive a free Pelican 2360 LED flashlight, a $39 value. But it won't last long, only now through July 15th. Hurry, call 877-886-3653, 877-886-3653, or shop online at GoBerkey.com. That's Go, BERKEY.com. No coupon code necessary. A free Pelican flashlight is yours with every purchase of any Berkey water purification system only at GoBerkey.com or by calling 877-886-3653. Hurry, offer ends July 15th.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I found from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
That's what he goes there for, is to unlock the door. All around him criticize and sleep. And through a fractal and a breaking wall, I see you, my friend.
Here's a bet I would take. Mitch McConnell. Think the great people of Kentucky would re-elect Mitch McConnell again? Conservatives want him out. Oh, this debt ceiling conversation that goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on really was a way to reduce government spending. I mean, let's face it, to hang the Democrats out to dry and say, ho, 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 look, this is how it goes. You spend, you get in debt, and we're not bailing you out. So now they are furious. Furious. When McConnell somehow lost his mind stepping out of the pew and, I don't know, temporarily walking around both sides. I'm not sure what he was thinking. So they outline a plan to raise the limit without ensuring spending cuts. Are you kidding? Mitch McConnell, I mean, it's squarely on this cat's shoulders. He outlines an incredibly complex and what one would call, in D.C. terminology, in your companies you would hate it if somebody said this to you, oh, we're procedure heavy. Yeah, a procedure-heavy proposal. And it would basically give the president the ability to raise the debt ceiling in increments without GOP support. What's that about? Do they have pictures of McConnell? Do they have something on McConnell? So, you know, he described the plan as what he called a last choice option. But I have other words for that plan. So you have a ton of conservative groups who, it really took them a day for this to saturate, I think, that are flat out saying that the minority leader has no idea what he's doing. No idea. And that he is walking away from the position that's been out there for too long. You know, but as I said, pick a number, day 250 if you want, on this whole debt ceiling deal. So the intent all along was to use the debt ceiling as a way to secure reform, right? But every single day, we're seeing more give back. And at Freedom Works, will just crush them. They will just take a hammer and crush McConnell. Because this has to be one of the largest, most organized Tea Party groups that I've seen. And they are pumping out McConnell's office number, and they are pushing people to help him find his spine. That's the words that they use. And, you know, went on to say, look, if the guy can't find any way to cut spending, if he thinks it's too hard, maybe he should listen to the Tea Party that sent 87 Republicans to Congress last year and said, you know, we want to see real cuts, spending caps with teeth, a balanced budget amendment. They got a million plus. I checked again on this today. They got like 1.5 million almost members. And I heard this, and it's not a surprise, that you can't even get to his office because the phone lines are so jammed up. I mean, this is going to end badly. It's going to end badly for McConnell, to be sure. When the threat was thrown out, too, as I said, about holding back military checks and Social Security for all the people that have paid in, to be sure it was easy to take a slice out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And Michelle Bachmann, who wants to be president, had no fear in saying, how could you possibly go after the military folks? Here's what she said.
Don't allow our military men and women to dangle over a fire and think they won't get paid. I'm unwilling to do that to any military personnel or their families. That's a dangerous game to play. Take it off the table.
All right, as many things as I could disagree with Michelle Bachmann on and the whole Paul Revere thing and what about history and whatever, I totally agree with her on this one. She nailed that, and you know that. We were talking about this in our last America Tonight. I mean, how could you possibly how could you not send the pay to those people? Well, the answer is, if you're trying to hang them over a barrel, that's the way to do it. And that's what's going to happen. So Jay Carney kind of countered back in the White House daily briefing when he was bombarded, because this really is what everybody's talking in D.C. There are other things, but as you know from our conversation at the top of the hour, if you were listening, but Jay Carney talked about, you think the 2008 recession was a big deal, you just wait. And then he kept talking about the $4 trillion that the president wants to hit, and that's the number. That's the dream number. Here's Carney.
There are some who seem to believe that this is not a serious and consequential situation that could potentially make the recession that we went through in 2008 look minor by comparison. He's pushing for the largest deal possible. He thinks that $4 trillion in a balanced way would be the best possible outcome.
Yeah, best possible outcome. The way it's looking now, I don't think there's going to be the outcome that anybody wants. You know, Mitch McConnell might have to take a page out of Arlen Specter's playbook and have to run to the other side, because I can't imagine that he would be reelected under the Republican category. I can't imagine that the Republican Party would in Kentucky is going to back up what McConnell's done, basically, in throwing up the cards in the air. I mean, just how do these guys get how do these guys get in office? You know, how does that happen? And you think of the sacrifices that so many other people make, and they're put in these positions. And I know I keep saying this over and over again, but it just irks me to no end and boggles my mind when I think of daily what all of us have to do, how you have to make ends meet, what do you do when you get slammed with increases, what happens, and do you default on your loans? Have you ever had to default on a loan and you had absolutely no choice? No one was throwing a lifeline to you, right? And so you think of the people that have paid in their entire lives to Social Security, they should get the pay. They should get the check. And the same with the military, for goodness sake. Of course they should get the checks. It's appalling. It's ludicrous. It's ludicrous. If we would just get out of the nonsense in the Middle East, and if we would admit that it's about oil, if we would do that and be honest and then pull out, you know how much money we would save? This is the problem. Talk about overextending yourself. So where are we on the debt ceiling? The answer is still nowhere. Actually, if you wanted to compare it to the NFL, they're closer in the NFL to a deal next week than they're closer to a deal in Washington, D.C. Because I keep saying this, the deficit really means more pain, no gain, for the middle class and for the poor. They can keep saying about rich and taxes, but that's not what's going to happen. The ones that are on the table, right, even if you took the spending cuts, so combine both. If you took the spending cuts and the tax hikes that have been talked about, you know where the major impact would be? The major impact, I'm sorry to tell you, would be on the middle class and the poor. That's who would bear the brunt of this. It's the people really stuck in the middle who are just barely making it, okay, but don't have a lot of extra dough. And that means, I'm sure, a lot of people listening to my voice right now. You're hauling your last load. Gas went up and then it dipped slightly back down and food prices are up and your taxes went up. I'm not singing a tune you don't know, except for to just call a spade a spade. And trust me, baby, it's the middle that's going to get squeezed.